What a time to be a teenager, or to parent one. COVID-19 has changed everything about how we live, schooling, job prospects, travel, even our beloved sport. And many teens might find it a bit sad and frightening. Some, of course, were struggling with anxiety and depression beforehand about school or work or friends or bigger picture issues like climate change. And it can be hard for parents to know how to deal with that. But certain skills can help there, and there's now an easy way to learn about them. Marie Yap is a psychologist and associate professor of research at Monash University, and she can tell us more about this practical approach to parenting a hormonal adolescent. Marie, welcome.
Thank you, Hilary.
Now, this is a tough time for anyone, whether they're in lockdown or just looking at this changed social landscape. How much would you expect that teenagers would be struggling during the pandemic?
Well, it really depends on where they started with, I guess. So as you're saying, for those who already had pre-existing challenges, they're probably likely to be hit harder. But for the vast majority of teenagers, they'll just hate being locked down, you know, kind of not being able to just hang out with friends at school or outside of school, having all their extracurricular activities, whether that's sport or other social activities, being impacted by lockdowns. Those would be the largest impacts, aside from, you know, schooling, you know, just kind of hating remote learning, or if they're kind of doing VCE, for example, you know, in year 12, year 11, those are other aspects of the education that would also bother them and just cause concern and worry.
And we have heard stories too of the flip side, where people are so much happier at home, they don't have to deal with the social anxiety they might have at school or other issues. But let's hear from one family who's in the situation of trying to help a teen through this time. Jessica lives in Melbourne's inner north, and she says her teenage son has found life really hard lately.
He's desperate to kick a football, and even more so just jump all over his mates, because that's what they do. He also needs to be on the roads clocking up his learning hours. And here we are trying to explain to a 17 and a half year old that he cannot do any of that anymore, and for the foreseeable future, that he must socially distance and now absolutely must wear a mask, which, as we know, for this age group is not cool. The one big thing on my side is that he is pretty mature, and also as a parent, I've had to learn to be extra patient, more loving, and both my husband and I just keep repeating the message that it is not about him, but about us, and most importantly, about those who are at a high COVID risk. I think at the end of the day, he gets that. He's a really good kid. And at the heart of it, he knows that this is really serious.
Now, Marie, Jessica mentioned a lot of the things that you talked about, social interaction and exercise, and also that issue of independence. What are some of the ways that parents can help kids adjust to losing out on those things for a period of time?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, as most of the world has resorted to, it's virtual interactions, isn't it? So, you know, I guess, you know, fortunately or unfortunately, the pandemic has hit at a time when technology has progressed heaps. So, you know, we are able to connect with people all over the world, literally at the touch of a few buttons. So that's definitely one way to do it. You know, it's definitely not as ideal as face-to-face, you know, physical interactions as we might know it. But it really is the best alternative given, you know, the current restrictions, and it's better to have that than none at all. So, you know, supporting, encouraging your teenagers to maintain the social interactions with peers through those means, and being creative about what you do through those virtual interactions, that's really important. You know, there are lots of other things that teenagers could also be involved in around the house, and if they're not already taking responsibility in and around the house and keeping things running, you know, that could be one way to just build their sense of independence as well, being able to make decisions about what they're going to have for dinner and things like that, depending on the age of the teenager. So those are little ways that parents could also encourage their teenagers to maintain that sense of autonomy during this time when, you know, a lot of that, you know, freedom and independence might feel like has been taken from them.
And Jessica also talked about the approach they were taking when they tried to persuade their son to do various things or not do them, being more patient and loving, but also looking at that bigger picture and explaining it in terms of a kind of wider social good. Is that persuasive for young people?
Well, you know, I think it's definitely an important picture to have because, you know, as we know, you know, teenagers and children are not directly impacted health-wise by the pandemic, but really they do have a huge role to play in terms of helping to keep our numbers down in terms of cases. So keeping that bigger picture, you know, building that altruistic perspective is really important. And some teenagers really hook into that. You know, it's just that sense of, you know, I have an important role to play. You know, that can be actually quite empowering for them. And you know, just kind of looking beyond themselves, that's really important as well. So you know, what Jessica was saying, it's spot on. You know, it's really important to be encouraging young people to look beyond themselves and to even spread that, you know, vibe amongst their friends, because it's, you know, amongst teenagers, sometimes it's easy to get very focused on the self. You know, it's a part of growing up, really. You know, it's all about discovering themselves. So getting them to look beyond themselves to the, you know, to the bigger picture and people outside and beyond themselves is really quite important, especially in this time.
We're talking with Marie Yap, psychologist, associate professor of research at Monash University, and she's developed an online learning tool that directs parents to resources for supporting their teenagers. Marie, if we look beyond COVID, how prevalent are mental health problems for teenagers generally?
Yeah, we know from national surveys that, you know, about one in four, one in five young people develop mental health problems before they hit adulthood. So it is actually a lot more common than we would like to believe sometimes. You know, it's one in four kids, you know, in a class of 20, that's five kids, you know, kind of just obviously that's just a quick and dirty way of saying it. But really it's affecting a lot of young people, and a lot of it goes unrecognized. And especially when it comes to things like depression and anxiety, you know, we call them internalizing problems. So, you know, these kids are not usually acting out and, you know, just being difficult, you know, teenagers and doing naughty things or destroying property and so on. But they're really just kind of withdrawing into themselves, and, you know, whether it's socially or just kind of keeping to themselves, and just keeping their own struggles to themselves, it can be difficult for adults around them, including parents, to tell the difference between, you know, it's just moody teenage, you know, experiences, or it's actually something more sinister, you know, like an actual mental health problem. So it is around us, and perhaps more so the concerns that with the pandemic situation at the moment, that it is increasing the risk of young people developing these problems.
And this online learning tool that you've developed, it directs people to particular information depending on how they fill out a survey. Mm. And you had it evaluated, and apparently parents reported less depressive symptoms in their teens, and that lasted for a year or so. Why do you think it was so successful as opposed to people just Googling information?
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of information out there for parents when you Google, and a lot of them is great material, but then a lot of them are, you know, kind of individual opinions and anecdotal experiences. So for parents to be able to distinguish between what is relevant for them and what isn't, what is actually appropriate for them to apply in their situation versus what isn't, you know, that can be quite challenging, and parents have told us that themselves as well. So I guess the distinction that our program offers is that we have actually kind of done the hard yard, so to speak, and pulled together the research evidence about what parents can do. We have consulted with international experts in young people's mental health and families and parenting to get their input on what is really important for parents to do. So what we present in terms of strategies for parents in our program, they are strategies that have been endorsed by international experts and supported by research evidence from very from quite a few decades of research, really. So they do give confidence in terms of, you know, how likely these strategies are to be useful. And so that really is what underpins the program and what we believe underpins the success that the program has had with families.
And these were parents reporting that they saw fewer symptoms in their teens. What did the teens think? Did they send you some kind of online message about that?
We don't really have, so as part of our research, we don't have much direct interaction with teenagers because it's primarily a parent program. So parents are the ones who have given us the most feedback. We did ask teenagers to report on how things were going for them in as part of our research. And what we did find, interestingly, is that teenagers, regardless of which program their parents got, told us they were improving. So in our trial, we gave parents either our program or a series of educational fact sheets from a very reputable government-supported website for parents. So that suggests to us that, you know, it's the information from both sources, our program as well as the government-supported website, they're all very useful information. So from the teenager's perspective, something was helping them. But from the parents' perspective, having, I guess, the personalized support and strategies recommended to them from our program seemed to be making more of a difference for them.
The program covers a lot of different issues, and one of them is relationships, establishing and maintaining a close relationship, and another is minimising conflict. I imagine they're quite intimately related. How much work do you need to have put in before the child becomes a teenager to have success in those areas?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of things, you know, it's easier to learn the first time than to unlearn and relearn, kind of, you know, more adaptive ways. So with, you know, with interaction styles and kind of what's considered a normal interaction culture within the home, you know, if it has been established from, you know, earlier in the child's life that, you know, yelling and being disrespectful, for example, is not acceptable, you know, teenagers will still push boundaries, you know, because they become a teenager, and that's kind of almost part of that growth process. But if those boundaries were established earlier, it would be easier to then rein the teenager back in and still kind of operate within those, you know, kind of agreed boundaries within the family. But it's never too late. And, you know, it's important. I think the first step really for families who feel like they probably started, you know, they feel like they started too late and things are really quite challenging with their teenager already, you know, it's never too late to start making small changes. And for many families, sometimes that begins with the parents acknowledging that, you know, they really could do things better in terms of setting boundaries in, you know, in the way the family communicates with one another, if necessary and if possible, to actually explicitly apologize and say, you know, I'm sorry, you know, I probably raised my voice too much. And, you know, that's kind of become the way to interact within the home. But that's not going to work from now on. Let's work together to make it better. And that kind of conversation can be really powerful if it's, you know, if it's made in the right spirit, and little steps, little wins along the way do add up.
Indeed.
Over time.
Powerful, but also confronting. Some work on both sides there. Marie Yap, thanks for your time today.
Thank you.
Marie is a psychologist and associate professor of research at Monash University, and that online tool is called Partners in Parenting.